Before Rodney starts my time, I just want to express my gratitude for everybody coming, the drives for some of you long, the 2 hours worth of Bible study. That's what it is. It's not Alabama playing South Carolina. It's not really a winner or loser. I think I said this last night or the night before. When I go have a Bible study with somebody, try to teach them the gospel, when I come home, my wife doesn't ask me who won the Bible study. That's not what people say, who won the debate. You don't win a debate any more than you win a Bible study. It's studying both sides of an issue so that both sides can be heard fairly. Okay? The thought is, it's a Bible study. Dennis is our friend. Now I remember that's how I met him, is through Ontario, here in Ontario's program. Okay? We love each other. We may press our points, but it's just because we're enthusiastic for what we believe. It has nothing to do with having any animosity toward each other. Everybody turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. It says, among other things, the head of the woman is the man. Now, after hearing everything he had to say, I wrote down how to respond to that, but I don't really think it's that critical to our difference here. Okay? He's trying to say that's talking about the husband is head of the wife. But I will say this, that's not it. It's exactly as it reads. The head of the woman is the man. Now, you know that, and I could send you a document where you show, go through the context all the way through and show it's not talking about husband and wife. It can't be. Let me just do it briefly here. Look at verse 8. Now, remember, are we talking about man and woman, husband and wife, or all men and women? For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. What's that talking about? That's talking about the fact that you were born from a woman. A mother. Not your wife. You're not of your wife. You're born from your mother. Same thing in verse 10. Verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. I won't exist without a woman. But it's not my wife, it's my mother. So 1 Corinthians 11:3 is saying the head of every woman is the man, not the head of the wife is the husband. Ephesians 5 says the head of the wife is the husband. They're both taught, okay? Now, I don't think that's really critical to our discussion as I see what he's saying. But let's go to why he brought it up, why he even brought that up, and this is critical. Because he went to Numbers, which by the way is in the Old Testament. He knows we're not under the Old Testament. He doesn't think we ought to do animal sacrifices, or he doesn't say you have to circumcise your little boys or keep the Sabbath, do you like pork or catfish, Dennis?
I like both of them.
So, me too. He knows we're not under the Old Testament. But his argument from Numbers 30, he's basically saying that a woman can make a vow, but her husband can overrule it. And he's trying to say the husband is the one that has to rule over her. All
right? Yeah, right.
I'm going to just grant that for a minute because that's not what's important here. It is talking about her husband here. But here's his problem. He's saying the husband, the reason a woman can preach in the church assembly, and by the way, the proposition is, I need to read that, he's supposed to be affirming the Bible authorizes women to preach in the church assembly. That's key, that last part, in the church assembly. Because I believe a woman is to preach, maybe teach the gospel in like a Sunday school class, or maybe at her house she teaches the gospel. You could call that preach accurately. It's in the church assembly, that's what we're talking about. He's saying if the husband, who has authority over her, is right about that, gives her permission to preach in the church assembly, then it's okay because then she's not usurping authority. But let's see how that will work with other things. Now, when I say Dennis doesn't believe his own argument, I'm not accusing him of any dishonesty. Okay? Not at all. He just doesn't realize what he's doing. Okay? I know he doesn't really believe this argument that the woman can do something, preach in the church assembly, even though 1 Corinthians 14 tells her not to and 1 Timothy 2 tells her not to, if her husband gives her permission. The reason I know he doesn't really believe that, because he doesn't believe he can give his wife permission to sleep with a friend. He doesn't believe that. Even if he gives her permission,
He thinks it's a sin.
Can he give his wife permission to commit murder?
No,
because the Bible says his wife can't sleep with another man. The Bible says murder's wrong. He can't give her permission to steal because the Bible says stealing's wrong.
He can't give her permission,
his wife, to sprinkle a little baby for baptism. Why? Because the Bible teaches immersion. So he gives her permission or he doesn't give her permission, but only in the sphere of things that are authorized by the Word of God. He can't give her permission to do a single thing that the Bible condemns. Y'all see that? Now, he's not being dishonest. He just doesn't realize what he's doing. I know he doesn't believe that argument because all of these other things, he doesn't believe he can give his wife permission. Really, a better translation, I think, for 1 Timothy 2:11-12 is in the ASV. It says, but I permit not a woman to teach nor to have dominion over the man to be in quietness. So in Ontario, if she ever preached in the church or preached over men, she was violating this passage because she was having dominion over men. I don't think she ever preached in the church. The question is, did she teach over the man? And if she did, she's violating this passage. Then he brought up Phoebe being a deaconess in Romans 6:7. Let's go to that. We're going to try to get to some of the main verses in a minute, but I want to deal with what he said. He said Phoebe, and he said the Hebrew word, but he meant the Greek word, that the Greek word means she's a deaconess, and that means she has authority. Let's look at that, okay? Here's Strong's definition. I feel very confident that Dennis uses Strong's Bible Concordance dictionary at the back. I'm going to just read in the red because I've got a lack of time. This is important. Here's Strong's definition for this Greek word. To run on errands, an attendant, a waiter, a table, or in other menial duties. That's right. It's exactly what that word is. It means servant. And a woman can do that, and I'm 100% for it. Right? I know lots of women that are servants, and not a single one of them are pastors or preachers, though. Every woman should be a servant. Every man should be a servant. And all of the women are servants, have to be, or they're not a faithful Christian. Not a single one of them are a pastor or a preacher. They do not take authority over the men because they violate the passage, the Bible, and they do not speak in the church because they violate 1 Corinthians 14. Here's how Thayer, let's just look at the words in red, how he's defining this Greek word, translated servant. Now, that's what it means. He says a servant or attendant. Wygram Green is another Bible dictionary. They're defining the Greek word, diakonos, not the English word. He said a waiter or a servant. Does that sound like a pastor or preacher? Does it? Doesn't sound like Phoebe was a pastor or preacher, does it? He said the Hebrew word meant that, but he didn't show me anything that meant it. I'm showing the meaning. Guess what? The word means servant, and women can be servants. Not only can they have to be, but they can't be pastors and preachers. Now, let's look at a couple of examples of the use of this same Greek word. Here's one. Matthew 22:13 says, then said the king to the servants. The king said to the servants. Was that pastors and preachers? No. It's the same Greek word, though. Yes. How about John 2:9? But the servants which drew the water. That's talking about when Jesus turned water into wine in John 2. And there were some servants there that drew the water, I guess, out of a well so that he could turn it to wine. Are those pastors and preachers? Or are they servants? Which one? So was Phoebe a pastor or preacher like he says, or was she a servant like the word means? That's pretty easy to tell, isn't it? From what the word means and these two examples. You know what servant means in Romans 16:1? It means servant. That's the way the King James translates it, and that's exactly what it means, Dennis. Doesn't mean pastor or preacher, it means servant, okay? Every Christian should be a servant, man, woman, and youth. The office of deacon, by the way, 1 Timothy 3:12, was always a husband. And there's a reason for that, and that's because deacon, if he takes authority over men, if he does, and I'm not necessarily saying he does, but if he does, it's going to have to be a man because 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, the head of the woman is the man, and 1 Timothy 2 says, the woman's not to teach nor usurp authority of the man. So if the deacon is taking authority, it's going to have to be a husband because that's a leadership position, if you understand it that way. Now let's go to Junia, okay, Romans 16:7. Everybody turn to Romans 16:7. He says, Junia was an apostle. Huh. Tell you what, Robbie, turn for me to read Romans 16:7. You tell me when you get there and I'll let you read. First of all, we don't even know that Junia was a woman. We don't know that. Newer translations like the New American Standard Version, they translate it Junius. Okay? Now, I don't think this is conclusive, but Junius is called a kinsman. Right? When we say police, we say policemen and police women. Junia is called, or Junius, is called a kinsman in this verse. Read it for us, Romans 16, verse 7.
Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before.
Now, Junia, or Junius, we don't know if it's a male or female, was of note among the apostles. And he acted like that phrase meant she was an apostle. Really? Is that what that means? Let's try that out. Acts 21:19 says Paul was among the Gentiles. Does that mean he was a Gentile? So why is it when it says Junia was known among the apostles, that means she was an apostle? When we got a verse that says Paul was among the Gentiles, but that doesn't mean he was a Gentile. How about Acts 10:22? Cornelius was of good report among the Jews. Does that mean Cornelius was a Jew? No, he's the first Gentile convert. But he was a good report among the Jews. Now, Dennis knows that means, that doesn't mean he was a Jew, but for some reason when it says Junia was a note among the apostles, that proves she was an apostle. I don't understand how to get there. Let me give you a football illustration. I like these. You're old enough to remember one of the best players that ever lived, unfortunately at Auburn, Bo Jackson. What if I were to say Bo Jackson was a note among the Bama coaches? And I know by experience, Riley, he was of note among the Bama coaches. Junia was of note among the apostles. Bo Jackson was of note among the Bama coaches. That doesn't mean he was a Bama coach. That means those Bama coaches were, especially on defense, were doing everything they could to scheme to try to stop that guy, because he's terribly hard to stop. Here's the ESV for this verse. Junia, they are well known to the apostles. In other words, the apostles knew about Junia. Simple English New Testament. Greet my relatives, Andronicus and Junius. The apostles think they are special. That doesn't mean Junius was an apostle. It means they thought she was special. Now, since apostles were a leadership role, Acts 15:2, many other passages, and we know for 100% sure from passages like 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 11:3, that we know there are no women apostles because it's a leadership role, and that would be violating those two passages if they took a leadership role. And then he made this argument. It's a little clever. He knows that I'm going to say women can teach the gospel outside the church, but not inside the church assembly. So he said, you mean it's okay to commit adultery in the church, but not outside the church? That's his argument. It's like it's either a sin or it's not a sin, no matter whether you're in the church or not. But that doesn't match up with what the Bible says at all. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's read that. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, is also that saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. I say this all the time, I radio program, I do not know of a single verse in the Bible that's any clearer on any subject than this verse, how clear it is on women preachers. If there's no ambiguity in it at all. It says three times she's not supposed to do it. Twice at the beginning of verse 34. Women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak. What's unclear about that? What's hard to understand about that? I'm pretty sure that a third grader, not calling you a third grader, I'm just saying this is at a very low level. Understand this. It's very simple. At the end of verse 35, he says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's very easy to understand. Now here's the deal on his last argument. If you found a verse that says it's a sin to commit adultery in the church, then you might have a point, but you don't see that. All the verses that talk about adultery say it's wrong anywhere you do it, right? But this says a woman's not to speak in the church. That wouldn't make any sense if it told her not to speak anywhere. How could she raise her children if she couldn't speak anywhere? When my dad told me, and Brian, I did a spanking, we call it a whipping when I was growing up, a spanking for this when I was a boy. Don't you talk in church. I did. I got a spanking. He didn't mean I couldn't talk in play period or after I got home when I was watching the football game. I knew exactly what he meant. Don't talk in church. So I didn't talk in church. One time I did, I got a spanking when I got home. Didn't mean I couldn't talk somewhere else, though.
This says a woman's not to speak in the church. It wouldn't make any sense for her to say she can't speak anywhere like it says about adultery. You can't commit adultery anywhere. Of course she's going to speak. She's going to talk to her husband at home. She's going to talk to her children. See? But this is saying in the church. That's easy to understand. You tell me what's hard to understand about that passage. Because I don't see anything hard to understand. Do you? What do I mean by the phrase in the church? I mean exactly what that verse meant when it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Specifically, I mean in the church assembly. When the whole church comes together in one place like y'all do at 11:15 on Sunday mornings. Okay? The Greek word that the King James Version translates church in 1 Corinthians 14:35 is translated assembly in other translations. Wagram Green, another Bible dictionary, defines the word as an assembled church. Verse 23 nails it down for me in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when the whole church come together in one place. Y'all come together for Sunday school, right, here on Sunday mornings. You're all in different rooms based on age group or based on women and men. But then at 11:15, you all come together for the preaching service or the church service. You're all together in one place. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 14:23 said. If, therefore, the whole church come together in one place, that's when it's wrong for a woman to speak. That's why it's okay for a woman to teach one of those Sunday school classes as long as the class only includes women and children. We'll talk about that more in a minute. I do not necessarily mean, when it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church, that it's wrong for her to speak in the church building. We help some churches and Christians in Africa, benevolently. Some of those churches don't even have a building. They may just meet and sit on some rocks under a tree. Don't have a building. Don't have a church building. But when they all come together in one place, sit on those rocks under that tree and have their preaching service, the women are not to speak then. Whenever, wherever, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 is talking about it, I believe it's wrong for a woman to teach there. So let's look at that real quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. Who, what, and when? Ronnie, how much time? What is the command? The command is to keep silence, not permitted to speak, shame to speak. To whom does the command apply? Your women and women, not to men. When does the command apply? If therefore the whole church become together in one place, in the churches, in the church. Not outside the church. It's wrong to commit adultery anywhere, outside or inside the church. This is only something that's wrong in the church. Dennis teaches women may speak in the church. This passage says women are not to speak in the church. Here's 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not or allow not, is the way we would say that. Not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. What is the command? Not to teach over the man. To whom does the command apply? Woman. When does the command apply? At all times. And so that would certainly include the church assembly because this passage applies at all times. It's not limited to the church assembly or even a Bible class. 1 Timothy 2:12 condemns a woman teaching over a man. And if Ontario did that, she was doing wrong. This would include leading a Bible class that has men in it, whether it's the church assembly or not, or it would definitely forbid what we're talking about tonight, what's at issue tonight, preaching to the church assembly. Dennis teaches women may preach to the church, which includes men. This passage forbids that and more. What is the issue? And we're going to talk about some of the passages like Joel here. The issue is not may women preach or teach the gospel outside the church assembly. Outside the church assembly, I agree they can. Indeed, they must teach the gospel. Acts 8:1-4, the whole church, whenever we're preaching the word. That's men, women, and youth. Everybody. All Christians are responsible to do personal evangelism. Rodney, that's my hobby, isn't it?
It is.
Acts 2, verse 17. Yeah? Okay, thank you. Acts 2, 17, your daughters shall prophesy, preach through inspiration. No doubt about it, they were preaching. Okay? Acts 21, 8 and 9, Philip had four virgin daughters which did prophesy. Women taught the Bible. Aging women, Titus 2, are to teach the gospel to young women. They are to teach the gospel to other people. But in the issue tonight is, can they preach in the whole church has come together in one place? The Bible is clearly no. May women preach to the assembly of the church? Dennis says yes. The Bible says no.
2 minutes.
So the woman it condemns, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, condemns a woman speaking to the church assembly. That would include preaching to the church assembly, leading a public prayer in the church assembly, giving a testimony in the church assembly, speaking in tongues in the church assembly, back in the day when they did speak in tongues, Dennis affirmed last night that we still do. Prophesying to the church assembly in that day, they couldn't do that. Making an announcement to the assembly would be speaking to the assembly. They can't do that. A public reading of the scriptures in the church assembly would be speaking to the assembly. They can't do that. They can't even ask a question, Mike, for learning in the assembly. It specifically says that. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. And this is not, my brethren, this is not taking a leadership position. It's forbidding her learning by asking a question in the church assembly. It says, you've got the question, wait till after the assembly, let her ask it at home. Now, this chart, it is titled, "It is not a shame for women to speak in the church." Everybody's going to agree here. Dennis is trying to prove tonight that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Even though 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 says it is, 34 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." Look at the part where I have Dennis Quinn here. Let's look at the two options. My friend Dennis Quinn is trying to prove tonight, you look at it, is a shame for women to speak in the church, 35b, or Dennis, are you trying to prove it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? Which one of those? You can answer when you get up here. There's two options. Either he's trying to prove it is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it's not. Which of the above do you think Dennis will choose when he gets time to choose based on his speech? Which one? Which of those two options do you think I would choose? Third and most important question. Which option has God chosen for us? How much time, Rodney? Which one has God chosen for us? It is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? Thank you for your time. Please give Dennis all of your attention.